Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we go into thy word this evening, we ask the Holy Spirit to come forward, to guide us, Father, and to give us the truth of what we study, so that we will not be deceived by mankind and the things of this world, Father, and that we can be on our way in walking in righteousness and close to the Lord Jesus Christ, making our way home to heaven when we step out of this life and into the next. And Father, if we have done anything that has been contrary to your word or hasn't been right in your sight, forgive us, Father, and let us know what it is so we don't do it again. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, you know, we need to get ready for our communion. So if you've got everything ready, get your bread. Because we know that the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, as they were sitting at the table eating, he took that bread, he'd given thanks for it, and he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And we really do need to remember him in this broken body as we take of his bread, because it is that broken body that gives you and I the healing that we need. Take your bread. To the same manner also, he took the cup, to get your cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And we need to remember that it's his blood that he shed that day from seven different places of his body that covers our sins and makes us clean. So take your cup. Drink it. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. All right. Now, we're going to be in the 19th chapter of Acts, and there is a lot here in and about this 19th chapter. And 41 verses long. We'll have to see what the Lord has got for us. Now, here with verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now, they were supposed to be believers. Verse 3. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Now, 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto his people that they should believe on him which should come after him, is on Christ Jesus. 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, they were rebaptized. Now, mankind don't want to believe today that they've been baptized by John's baptism and baptized the way they did under the law in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They don't believe they need to be baptized again. And yet, nowhere in the New Testament will you find where anyone was ever baptized that way after the church age started. After the day of Pentecost, everything was done in Jesus' name. Because He is the way, He is the door, and He is the only way. There is no other. Now, you know, the incident is unique in that here are 12 men whom the text presents as believers who are nevertheless rebaptized. They, like John the Baptist, had received Christ and were baptized, but they knew nothing of the church age or the coming of the Holy Spirit, even though these had happened 20 years earlier. Paul deems it necessary to rebaptize them. The evidence that they had already been saved is substantial. First, Luke refers to them as disciples. Second, Paul speaks of them as those who have believed. Third, if they were saved through Paul's witness, here it would be fitting that they receive the Holy Spirit and the demonstration of tongues at the moment of belief, as with Cornelius, but rather than after their baptism. It seems best to understand these disciples of John as men who had been saved before Pentecost, but who had never been informed of its occurrence. Hence, they would not have received the baptism of the Spirit when saved back then, and no later event brought it about as Pentecost did for the 120 in the upper room. Obviously, therefore, John the Baptist did not initiate the church age. Otherwise, the rebaptism of these men would have been unnecessary, as well as the demonstration of tongues. Now, you see, when they baptized them in the name of Jesus, there, and here in verse 6, And with Paul, after they had been baptized in Jesus' name, and Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. 7. All men were about 12, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And you know, there in verse 2, Paul's question here, when he asked about them receiving the Holy Spirit, better translated, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? The manner and time of the receiving of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts does not follow a set pattern. Therefore, to base one's belief on any one passage in this traditional book is precarious. Rather, we must listen to what the apostles understood concerning these circumstances. Follow the consistent teaching of the apostles rather than their diverse experiences. Every person at the moment of his salvation received the Holy Spirit without the laying on of hands and without any outward sign. Now, you see, as I've told you before, the footnotes in your study Bible were put there by men, and even after the Bible had been translated from Arabic and Greek and Latin into English. The Bible had already been printed. Then along came a bunch who wanted to make what they called a teacher Bible, which is what I'm holding in my hand. But you see, in studying the Word, you find even they misunderstood a lot of things that are written in this Bible, in this gospel. Now, but I like going over it because it lets me really learn, because when there gets to be too much controversy in a subject, I take my Bible and go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to give me the revelation and the truth of that. And if you'll do that and you do it from the heart, he will. He will take care of that for you. Now, here in verse 8, and he went to the synagogue and spake boldly, as I read 2 minutes ago, or 3 months, disputing, persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. These disciples, these apostles that were setting up the early churches and overseeing them did not have it easy. Pardon me. And you and I today that will teach this word boldly as it is written. We're not going to have it so easy either, because people will talk about you. They lie about you. I know. They do it to me all the time. They tell all kinds of tales and things on me, because I don't walk around none of the subjects when I'm studying the Bible, and like with our Bible studies. You see, I will not walk around the subject. Or no one. I'm going to give it to you just like God gives it, because that's the way he aims for us to do it. He tells me to preach this doctrine. This is the doctrine I am to preach. Doctrine of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that was laid down by apostles when it was given to them by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And that's the doctrine we are to teach. And no other. But you see, most of our churches don't do it anymore. There was a time that they all did, because of a lot of things, and mainly because of greed. It was one of the main reasons for the change in our church. Because as they would teach something that the Bible said was wrong, and they had several in their congregation that was doing that very thing, they would leave. And a lot of times it was those that mainly to the church. And they started changing things and quit teaching on certain things. And today, now, our churches has gotten so weak and all so much out of the way that a great percentage of them only has one meeting a week, Sunday morning. Then we have a few that have Sunday morning and Sunday night. And we have very, very few that has Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday prayer meeting as they used to have. And yet, the Word of God lets us know that the church is to operate daily. It is to be there daily. That's why God has got me with this Bible study now every day. And I have it twice a day, morning and evening. 10 in the morning, 6 in the evening, Eastern time. As we go here to verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greek. And God wrought special miracle by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Handkerchiefs and aprons that he would send to them to cure the sickness and disease. Now, 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, extortioners, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjourn you by Jesus preaches." Uh-oh, somebody's in trouble here. You see, you don't play with the truth of God's word. Here's what happened to them. 14. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. Now, these were supposed to be religious people. But see, they weren't. 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" Because, you see, that evil spirit knew they wasn't walking with the power of God, because they were not believers. This evil spirit knew that. And he asked, he says, "But who are ye?" 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. He gave them a whoop. Tore their clothes off. 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now, 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. 19. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Price of those that burned, the 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You see, the burning of these occultic books valued at over $1 million by current standards today. Or at the time for this writing. That 50,000 pieces of silver would have been worth $1 million. And it might be considered essential waste by some. Sale of these scrolls could only provide financial resources. The rejection of and separation from them resulted in God's blessing, and so mightily grew the word of God as the veil. Now, '21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there I must also say no. Now, as you see, we're beginning to see and to hear about Paul's last journey. And we will be studying his journey as we continue on through this book of Acts. But this would be his last. Now, and Paul really knew this. 22. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. 23. At the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, the silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. Now, 25, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. You see, they're making false gods, what they do. And that's what Diana was. Now, 26. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the goddess, of the great goddess, Diana, should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. They see the temple of the great goddess Diana at Ephesus was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. That's what it was considered. And here she was a false goddess. What was considered actually one of the seven wonders of the world at that day and time. 28. When they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. See, they're calling her great. 29. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Artatius, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions to travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. The disciples didn't want him going in. 31. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. They figure something bad is about to happen. 32. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, And the more parts knew not wherefore they were come together. 33. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, crying out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Still found to have their way and lifting up to, and worshiping this goddess Diana. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana?" He told them that nobody in Ephesians that didn't worship Diana. "And of the image which fell down from Juniper. Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly." Don't do anything rashly. But continue believing the wrong things. Now, just as some are being told today, in our churches that have grown so weak. Well, actually being told that everything is all right to continue on with their way, that everything's fine with them. It's not. And our country is proof of that. Not today. Now, it goes on here, 37, "For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your gods." He said they're not blaspheming her as of yet. 38. "Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies, let them impede one another." In other words, he was telling them all to be quiet and not cause an uproar. Let these craftsmen that brought all of this into being, let them take them to law. Now, 39. "But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly." See, he's strictly out to get things quiet and tell them to use the law and the law assembly. In other words, that day and time would be what we call courts today to sue one another. Forty. "For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse." He let them know there's no cause for this uproar, and we can be called in question for it. the last verse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Now he's dismissed everything, that assembly where they had taken these men. And we will, God willing, we'll be picking up the chapter 20 and continuing on with this a little ways there in 20. Find out more about what all happens. I pray that everyone has gotten something from this study this evening. Something to think about. Something more than what you had before we got into this study. And that you are a little stronger because of it. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we go to your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Father, we do thank you for the times that we can come together to study your word, Father, to grow thereby in knowledge, wisdom, to be able to help others. Father, we pray for Jerusalem, Israel. We pray for peace for them. But Father, we pray even more for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And Father, for this land of ours, filled with evil, we pray, Father, for those that have brought all this evil upon this land and our people that are sitting in our offices in high places, that they be removed, Father, and replaced with those that serve you, love the Lord Jesus, loves the church, your people, and loves this land, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance. Father, as we think, we know that we are living, Father, in last of days. And Father, we need our land to repent and our government put back on the foundation which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can reach, Father, more out there that are walking in darkness, that is searching for something more. Father, we can be used to help them to come to the realization of knowing that they need something other than themselves, that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, so that they too can make heaven their home. Father, I pray now for all that are part of this ministry to study with us. And I pray, Father, that they be in health and kept safe through this evening and through the night, and can be brought back in the morning at 10 a.m. and back into the word of Almighty God. Now, pray for their families, Father, for all, each member of their family. Father, Kenny Tower, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy and Tom and Jacob, Bobby and Millie, Sue, Darren and Debbie, that word today of one that has got a sickness, a kidney infection, Father. I'm praying for her. You know who she is, Father. She loves you. Heal her, Father. Heal this infection. Now, Father, for all that is carrying any type of sickness or disease, we pray for them. And we ask for them to reach out and accept and claim thy healing power that has been given long ago because your promise and your word tells us that we are healed by his stripes. Now, Father, pray for children, for grandchildren, for great-grandchildren, and every member of the family. Help us all, Father, to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Make him our Savior. Make him our brother. So that we can make heaven our home. Father, this is my prayer this evening in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, everyone. I pray you have a great night. A good one. Walk with God. He'll walk with you.